unshakable kingdom. That's been our word for the year. Been declaring that a shaky world needs an unshakable church. And we're going to read our scripture for the year. It's been an absolute joy to see everybody from parents to grandparents to even social kids declaring this verse. And I think we ought to read it with some birthday enthusiasm today. Can we do that? Just before I introduce our special guest, everybody standing, looking at the screens if you need the cheat sheet and you ain't got it memorized yet. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Are y'all ready? Like for real, for real? Here we go. Do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God. For God is not an indifferent bystander. He is actively cleaning house, torching all that needs to burn, and he won't quit until it's all cleansed. God help. Oh, y'all sound good. You sound good on birthday social. Are you ready for the best birthday surprise of your life? 3 years ago on Easter Sunday, when we were at the Hi-Fi, which is now the Echo Lounge, launching as a church, if you would have come to me and whispered in my ear and said, hey, April, 3 years from now, you're going to be having church where they have the State Fair of Texas. And you're going to be introducing the guest that I'm about to introduce right now. If you would have said that to me, I would have said, you need to go see a doctor and have a full psychological evaluation. There is no way. Social Dallas, we are incredibly blessed today to hear from somebody who is a hero to me. This is somebody who is a leader of leaders. He is a pioneer. He is somebody who I love his faithfulness and consistency in the kingdom. He's a New York Times best-selling author. He pastors the largest church in U.S. history, y'all. If you've ever been on the YouVersion Bible app, it's connected to this incredible man of God. But hear me. If that ain't enough, I love who he is as a man, as a husband, as a father, and I am so grateful. He does not have to be anywhere. He's not looking for a place to preach, but he so graciously said yes to come, and I want him to leave here today saying, ain't no place like Social Dallas. Put your hands together for the incredible, for the incomparable, for the Tom Cruise lookalike, the preacher, the pilot. Come on, Pastor Craig Groeschel. Social, would you make some noise?
Oh, come on, Social Dallas. Somebody better give God some praise today. Oh! Oh! I don't know, man. If I preach here, I may not go back home. There is no place I would rather be. I got to tell you right now, when Pastor Robert asked me to come, I was so excited and I was just stupid nervous. There's no place I'd rather preach outside of my church into you. But there's no preacher I'd rather not follow than your pastor. Because when he, like today, he said this. He said, like, if I said step into it, I say step into it. But he said, you step into it. And that makes me nervous. But I'm starting to feel the anointing because normally if I'm dead and then I'm alive and then I'm free, but today I'm feeling like I might have been dead. And then I was alive. And then I was free. Somebody here was dead. And then he came to life. Oh, Social Dallas, let's have church today. Let's have church today on the 3-year anniversary. Can we take a moment, just a moment, because the sacrifices, the faithfulness, the integrity, praise God for the integrity, the generosity, the humility, and the faithfulness. I know better than most anybody the price you've paid, the blessing that you enjoy, and the burden that you've endured. And I honor you, love you, celebrate, worship God for the gifts that he's given you and the faithfulness that you've taken those gifts and generously used them for the glory of God. I celebrate. What's happened in 3 years is a miracle. This is a movement. This is a movement. And guess what, man? It's just getting started. It's just getting started. It's just getting started. Every single person here who serves and prays and gives, you are in on the ground floor of the move of God through the local church, the bride of Christ, which will endure through this age. As if I were you, I would thank God in heaven that I'm within driving distance of a church full of the Word of God, full of the presence of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, making a difference all over the world. May God be glorified for 3 years, and the best is yet to come. Our God will do exceedingly and abundantly more than all you can ask, think, or imagine, to the glory of God in this place. Touch somebody, say, happy 3 years. Happy 3 years. We're just getting started. Just getting started. Go ahead and have a seat, if you will. Who's ready for the word? Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. The disciples were under deep and severe persecution for their faithfulness. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, the disciples prayed, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." God, help us to speak your word with great what? With great boldness. Stretch out your hand, O God, and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after they prayed, somebody say, after they prayed. Not before they prayed, but after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And how did they speak the word of God? They spoke the word of God boldly. After they prayed, they spoke the word of God boldly. After they prayed. How many of you believe in the power of prayer? Raise your hand. Raise them up. Leave them up if you will. Leave them up. 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 Look around. Look around. Look around. Look around. Look around. Believe in the power of prayer. Put your hands down. How many of you believe in the power of prayer, but you probably don't pray as often as you know you should? Raise your hands. Isn't that interesting? I mean, think about that. Almost everybody here just said, we believe that you can go boldly before the throne of grace, and God will hear your prayer and meet you in a time of need. And yet, almost every spirit-filled believer who said, we believe that we can pray to whom God says all things are possible, just acknowledged that we probably don't pray as often as we should. Why do you think that is? Could be a lot of reasons. I'll be really transparent with you. I for years and years, felt like an inadequate prayer. I look at other people, they would pray, and they would pray in amazing ways. I would get in a prayer group and feel intimidated. One is kind of weird in prayer groups when you're holding hands, because you're always holding hands with like super spiritual squeezer, and then you got dead fish prayer hand on the other side. I'm like, I am unequally yoked right now. I don't even know what to do with squeezer and lukewarm hand and something. And then I'd be around some people like Pastor Robert, You know, like if God had endorsements for prayers, like he'd be endorsed. It's almost like professional prayers. Like when they pray, you think God goes like, wow, that's a good prayer. And there's almost like implied rules. You don't see them anywhere, but there's almost like implied rules. Like if you bind up the devil, that's worth a when you're praying. Like I bind you devil, And when people start your prayer points go up, right? And then if you quote scripture from memory, that's double points. We bind up the devil because God, you said in your word in Isaiah 54 that no weapon formed. And I'm sitting there trying to remember now that verse is where and what did it say and I can't do it. And I've often felt like a prayer failure. I'm kind of like an ADD prayer. Any of you like that? I start strong, but I drift quickly. You know, God, we bind up the work of the devil and bird. And oh yeah, blueberries. I need blueberries. I got to go to the store and get blueberries. People who pray for a long time, God bless you. I like genuinely celebrate prayer warriors. Thank God. Some of you are prayer warriors. Thank God for prayer warriors. I pray like 5 minutes in the same direction and I start getting bored. And I promise you, sometimes I think like God's getting bored. Like, come on, Groeschel, say something better. Why is it, if you think about it, that almost everybody here said you believe in the power of prayer, and almost everybody here said you don't pray like you know you should? Why do you think we don't pray like we know we should? I have a theory, and my theory is because so much of what we pray are safe prayers. Be with us, Jesus. He kind of already promised to do that, but you still pray it. Be with us, Jesus. Protect us as we travel to see grandma. It's about a 99.99% chance sure you're gonna get to see grandma, but you still pray, protect us as we drive to see grandma. Bless us. I look around here, we're pretty dang blessed already, but yet we're still praying for God to bless us. Why is it that so often we don't pray as faithfully as we know we should? My theory is because we're praying safe prayers. And following Jesus was never meant to be safe. What I want to do today, I believe God brought me to Social Dallas to help you pray what I call a dangerous prayer. And I'm going to give you a dangerous prayer that the disciples prayed. And somebody here is going to start praying this prayer. And let me warn you, when you pray this prayer, God will change the trajectory of your life and your ministry. And if a group of people, like several thousand people who are a part of an unshakable kingdom, all started to pray this prayer, there is no telling what our God might do in every single one of you and through every single one of you for the glory of our Father. Acts chapter 4, let me give you the context. Peter and John, they were preaching about Jesus who died on the cross and raised from the dead. And there was this guy that couldn't walk for 40 years, and the disciples prayed in the name of Jesus for this man, and he was miraculously healed. If anybody needs a miracle today, the presence of God is in this place. We serve a God of miracles, and the guy was healed. And the religious leaders, the priests and the Sadducees and the captain of the temple guard were furious and said, hey, you can't preach about this Jesus guy. You can't use his name. And he put Peter and John in prison. And the next day, Peter and John were on trial before the Sanhedrin, and they said, by what authority are you preaching and doing these works? And Peter spoke up and said in verse 10, he said, let me clearly state to all of you and all the people of Israel that this man was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. There is something about that name, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus where demons tremble and one day every knee will bow. We did this in the powerful name of Jesus, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Now, let me tell you, whenever Peter said that, those words were bold beyond measure, because the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. And so when he said Jesus was raised from the dead, that was the equivalent of a declaration of war. And in verse 13, we see it, the members of the council, they were amazed when they saw what? When they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They were amazed, they were blown away, they were stunned, they were shocked, they were speechless when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see they were ordinary men with no special training in Scripture. They were amazed, they were blown away, they were shocked, they were in awe when they saw the boldness of ordinary people. Some of you may say, like, ah, Pastor Robert and Pastor Taylor, they are amazing, and they are amazing, but we don't have the gifts or the power like they do. They're special and we're just ordinary. The good news is God specializes in using ordinary people. In fact, what I love about this word in the Greek, the word ordinary is actually the word idiotes. And Bible translators, or let's just say they are polite, because if you use your imagination, the most literal translation for the word idiotes is not ordinary, but it's idiot. That's what it means. They were amazed that they were a bunch of idiots. They were ordinary, unschooled people. Now, where I come from, if somebody does something kind of silly, you say, bless your heart. And everybody thinks that's kind. Bless your heart. The reality is, if you don't know, when someone says, bless your heart, what they're really saying is, you're an idiot. If you didn't know that, you need to know it. If I got to the edge of this stage right here and you go, oh my gosh, Rochelle's close to the edge, and I'm just kind of talking to you and I fell off, you would say, bless his heart. What you're saying is, you're an idiot. It's a true story, be careful. Someone's gonna tell you, bless your heart, and they're telling you you're an idiot. First time I did a funeral, I was like 22, 23 years of age, and this older lady died, she's like 112 or so, and I went to the funeral, it was an outside funeral, and they said, make sure you sing Amazing Grace, and so, I'm not like your pastor. I can't sing and make everybody go crazy. I can't sing at all. Like, I'm a joyful noise type of guy, if you know what I'm talking about. And so I thought if I just started singing Amazing Grace, everybody would join in. And I said, okay, may, and I just started to try to sing it, and nobody sang back. I'm like, Jesus, come quickly. I need the rapture right now. And I'm doing a solo next to this dead lady, and in the middle of this solo, this fly is buzzing around. This fly flew straight into my mouth, and it hit that, what's that little thing back there? What's that little thing called? What's that called? Not the tonsil, it's a blah, 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 blah. What's that? Uvula? I thought that was something else. Okay, be careful. It hit that little thing, and it hit that thing, and it dropped down, and it got lodged about right here. Okay, suddenly in the middle of my solo, I've got one of two options. One is hack a loogie right by grandma's grave. The other option is take one for the glory of Jesus. What do you think I did? Oh, I am a living sacrifice all day long. I swallowed that fly right there. And I got to the very end of the part, the solo was over, and I put my hand on the casket trying to be all holy. I said, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. I couldn't remember what came after that part. What comes after that part? See, I didn't know either. Ashes to ashes. And then I thought, everybody's sad. I'm gonna say something that's kind of funny. I'm gonna lighten it up. It's gonna create a good mood here. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Sure hope this coffin doesn't rust. That's about how they responded. I was walking back after the funeral to the car, and the funeral home guy puts his arm around my shoulder, and he says, first funeral ever? I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, bless your heart. Bless your heart. The disciples, nothing special. Hadn't been to school. Didn't have a theological degree. There's ordinary people. Just like us. and they were bold beyond measure. All of a sudden, we have this dilemma because we have this man who was unable to walk, and now he's healed, and he's standing. And the religious leaders said, we gotta shut down these crazy social Dallas people, essentially. We gotta shut down these passionate, faithful, bold Jesus followers who are declaring Jesus everywhere they go. And so they said to them, you can't preach Jesus. If you preach Jesus, we're gonna beat you, we're gonna put you in prison, and we may even put you to death. And so the disciples heard that. If you continue preaching about the risen Christ, we will beat you, torture you, and probably kill you. So the disciples did what I would do, and they prayed a prayer. But let me tell you what they didn't pray. They didn't pray, oh Lord, keep us safe. They didn't pray, Lord, put a hedge of protection around us. But let's look at the text again. Scripture says this, they prayed, and now, O Lord, hear their threats, and watch this dangerous prayer, and give us your servants, say it with me, what? Give us great boldness in preaching your word. Today I came to teach you a very dangerous prayer. The dangerous prayer is this, make me bold. Somebody say it, make me bold. Elbow the person next to you and say, make me bold. Elbow the other person and say, God, make you bold. Because I want to tell you right now, listen to me, social, you have no idea how God might use one moment of boldness through you. You have no idea. You have no idea how God might use one moment of boldness through you. The religious leaders were amazed by their boldness. I would ask you this, how amazed are people by your boldness? The people you work with, the people around you, the people you interact with, how amazed are they? Play a little game, we'll go 1 to 10. And I want you to rate yourself. How amazed would you say other people would be by your boldness? 10 is Jesus. You're not a 10, just in case I'm wondering. You may be a 9.5, you're not a 10. 1 is the devil, okay? You're not the devil. So somewhere in between there. And so a 9, let me tell you what a 9 would be. A 9 is you probably have 2 or 3 people with you today at church that you brought to be here because you've been witnessing and you've been inviting. That's a 9. And you've probably got 8, 9, 10, 13 people that you're praying for all the time. And you'll probably get persecuted often. Because when you're bold for your faith, you get persecuted. Some of you, though, you're probably more like a 3. You're a Christian and you love Jesus and you shout and dance when you're in church, but when you're at work, you kind of just blend in. You work some way for 5 years and one day you're working next to someone else and they say, oh, you're a Christian. I didn't know you're a Christian. On a scale of 1 to 10, just for fun, what would you say other people say about your boldness? How bold are you? A little bit about my story. If I ever get excited about Jesus, it's because he brought me out of a lot. Did anybody here come through a lot? When I was in college, I was an athlete, and I kind of majored in sinning early on. That was like my major. Anybody ever major in sinning? How many know sin can be fun? Raise your hand up, raise your hand up, raise your hand up. Like, a lot of you not raising, I'm not saying sin's fun in church. Listen, if you don't think sin is fun, either you didn't do it right, right? Or you're just lying right here in front of everybody. It can be fun for a while and then it's not. I got to the part where it wasn't fun. It was catching up to me. And I was in a fraternity and my fraternity got in trouble. There were 4 guys that committed grand larceny. So I was the leader of the fraternity. So I said, as a public relations move, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to start a Bible study. And all my fraternity brothers said, to bleep we are. We can bleep, start a bleeping Bible study. And I wasn't a Christian, I said, to bleep we are. We're starting a bleeping Bible study. And so I told him I was gonna do it on Tuesday. Tuesday, I was walking to my business class and I realized I didn't have a Bible. And so I was walking in, I don't think I even prayed, I just kind of like thought toward heaven, like, I don't have a Bible. Like, if anybody's there, I don't have a Bible. I don't have a Bible. I'm gonna do a Bible study. I'm gonna do a Bible study for you and I don't have a Bible. And I walked into class, I came out, and there was a gentleman in a suit and tie from the organization known as the Gideons. God is my witness, how good is God? Who looked at me and said, young man, would you like a free? Tuesday night, seven hungover, testosterone-filled men gathered together. I said, open to the first book in your Bible. I was trying to sound pastoral. Open the first, I've heard people, open the first book in the Bible. They turned to Genesis. I turned to Matthew. No wonder this one was free. It's not all there. It's a part Bible. I said, let's start reading in Matthew. Now, for those of you who have been around the Bible for a while, Matthew chapter 1 is not a good place to start with hungover, testosterone-filled mess. It skipped to Matthew 2. It's got to get better. So we started reading through the Bible. I read all the way through Matthew, and it was powerful. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God will change your life. I read Jesus died and was raised from the dead. And I read Mark, powerful, and Jesus died and was raised from the dead. Read in Luke, he died. I thought, you'd think he'd see it coming, like he just happened to him, like, you be on your toes, Jesus, they're coming for you, you know. And I didn't get it, and I kept reading. I got all the way to Ephesians chapter 2. And when I read Ephesians chapter 2, everything changed. That you would be saved, I could be saved, dead, lost in my alcohol abuse, my mistreatment of people, my lying, my stealing, my cheating, my hatred, my self-hatred, that I could be saved by the grace of Jesus, not by my works, not by anything that I could ever do, but by putting my faith in him. And I went out all by myself and fell down the little softball field and prayed this sloppy, ugly, non-Southern Baptist approved prayer of salvation, but just take me on. And when I knelt down, I was one person. When I stood up, I was different. Different, changed, new. The Spirit transformed me, completely new. I started telling everybody about Jesus. I was so bold. I told everybody, everywhere, all the time. I got this award, it's kind of a fluke, but I got the Athlete of the Year award, and they said, would you like to say anything? I just met Amy, who I married. We have six kids. Our marriage is six kids good. That's how good it is, six kids good. People say, like, do you know what causes that? And we're always like, yes, we do. And we're unwilling to give it up. Amen. And so I just met her, and they said, would you like to say a few words? Here I'm at an award ceremony. And they said, you got like 30 seconds. I said, hey, everybody, I just want you to know I was lost, but now I'm found. I was dead, but now I'm alive. God brought me that girl. This is true. I said, God might be that girl. She's my Christian babe. That would probably get me canceled today, but I call her my Christian babe. I said, if you're lost and dead and hurting in your sins and you call on the name of Jesus, his name is above every name. He died for you. He rose again. If you call on him, you can be forgiven and saved. And maybe you need to call on him today. And they took the microphone away from me. True story, I walked back to my seat and there was this guy, a soccer player. He looked up at me, his mouth was just open. He's like, he said, that was the boldest thing I've ever seen in my whole life. Consider the threats, Lord, and give us boldness to preach your word. How amazed are people at your boldness for Jesus? The religious Israel were amazed by their boldness. Let's look at scripture again, verse 29. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were filled with the power of the resurrected Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with what? With boldness. I want you to think about this. If you imagine, think about the reality of what was going on with these men. Peter and John kept preaching the gospel of Jesus. And God kept miraculously changing lives and healing people. And there were people born again, and the high priest and the religious leaders were furious, and they said, hey, if we don't handle this, Rome is gonna step in. And so what did they do? Well, scripture says in verse 18, they arrested the apostles and they put them in a public jail. But an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail and brought them out. And then the angel told them, go to the temple and give the people this message of life. I want to give you three attributes of divine boldness. Then we're going to close in prayer and with a shout of worship. Number one, three attributes of boldness. If people will be amazed by your boldness, number one, I want you to understand and take this to the kingdom bank. Boldness almost always triggers spiritual opposition. The moment you step out, I would say it this way, the moment you step out, the devil steps up. Whenever you go to a new level, there's a new devil. You start being bold for the glory of Jesus and spiritual opposition comes your way. The moment they preach the gospel, verse 18 says that the other leaders arrested the apostles and put them in a public jail. What I want you to recognize is this is the second time in 1 week they were in jail. This is a real deal. In our culture, we tend to think like someone made a bad comment on my TikTok account because I said something like, no, I'm being persecuted. But they're in jail for the second time. And what a lot of people would do today is they say like, where's God? God's not with me. Where's God? Where's God? I'm serving him and things are going wrong. When things are going wrong, when you're serving him, that doesn't necessarily mean you're out of God's will. Oftentimes it means that right you're in the middle of God's will because there's spiritual opposition for your obedience. And so they prayed this dangerous prayer. And what I'm gonna do is I'm going to, on your third anniversary, speaking to an unshakable kingdom, I'm gonna challenge and invite and ask you, would you for the next 7 days just pray this prayer? What do you think will happen? If you start praying this prayer, let me tell you, God's gonna speak to you and you have no idea what God might do through a single act of obedience and boldness. We're gonna pray, God, make me bold. Make me bold. And when you do, and when you start being bold for Jesus, just get ready because they're gonna laugh at you all day long. And they're gonna criticize you, and they're gonna talk bad about you, and they're gonna make fun of you. And when you're living for Jesus, you may be alone on some Saturday nights. When you're a witness at school, you may not be in the popular crowd. When you stand up and you say, I'm not gonna do some of the things other people do on dates, you're not gonna have as many dates with people around there, and they're gonna say, you're kind of weird, and you're not dating, you're a fan, you're a Jesus freak, and all that kind of stuff. And at work, if you're bold for Jesus, you may get passed over for a promotion that you otherwise deserve. And I wanna tell you right now, and I want you to hear it, and I want you to feel it, if you're not ready to face opposition for your obedience to God, you're not ready to be used by God. Step into it, be ready for it, get ready for it, get ready for it. When you are obedient to God, when you're bold for God, it almost always triggers spiritual opposition. Number two, and this is good news, boldness often releases God's miracles. Boldness often releases the faith of your boldness triggers God and you see miracles. In fact, Acts chapter 5, verse 19, I want you to watch this. This is so funny to me. They're in prison, this is bad, and here's what Luke says. Luke says, but an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. This is funny. I want you to look at it in your Bible. Here's all he says. But an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. Luke didn't make a big deal at all. Think about this. An angel shows up at your place. What are you doing? Hashtag, let me get a picture. 9-foot-tall angel. An angel showed up at my place. God sent it. Luke just says, angel Lord showed up and just poof. Angel opened the door. There's no exclamation point. There's no shouting. He's like, you're not gonna believe this? Why? Because when you walk in obedience to God, you won't be surprised by the miracles of God. You just kinda expect God to show up whenever you step out. Whenever you're obeying God, like, oh, His Holy Spirit tells me to do that. I just expect God to show up. Oh, God told me to give. I don't know how I'm going to give this, but I just expect God to provide. Oh, God just led me to do this. I had to learn early on as a new Christian that when you walk in obedience to God, the presence and power of God tends to make itself known. I was a brand new young pastor, and I was serving as an associate pastor at a charismatic evangelical United Methodist church. You say, is that possible? Oh, yes, it was. At this charismatic evangelical United Methodist church, we had the doxology, we had robes, we had the Apostles' Creed, we had speaking in tongues, we had Israeli dancing. We had people going out in the spirit at a Methodist church. It's crazy, crazy, like signs of the end time. Jesus is coming soon. My pastor 1 week said, we're gonna have a prayer line and we're gonna anoint people with oil and pray for the sick. And I had never done that before. I was 22 years of age, come up there, and he said, come forward. He said, Pastor, go pray for them. I'm like, what do I do? And he said, go in my office and get the anointing oil. So I ran into his office, and there are two little bottles of oil up on the shelf. One of them was very plain looking, and the other one looks pretty, kind of like, almost like Christmas pretty. So I thought, I'll go with the pretty one. And I grabbed the pretty one, I came back out there, and then I'm supposed to anoint this lady. I said, what are we praying for? She said, the doctors told me that my eyes are going bad, and I'm gonna be blind in 6 months to 12 months. And I said, okay, so I'm gonna anoint you with oil. I'm going like, the prayer of faith will heal the sick. How do you anoint with oil? I didn't learn this in seminary. And so I opened up the little jar, and it had this most beautiful cinnamon smell, beautiful cinnamon. Like, God must like cinnamon. So I put a little bit of oil on my finger. I didn't know how to do this, so I thought, I'm gonna make a cross on her forehead, because that seemed better than a check. I just didn't know. It just seemed like an exclamation point. You know, just So I said, I anoint you with oil. I put this cinnamon thing on her, and when it went on, she's like going, ooh. Ooh. Ooh, it's burning. Oh, it's burning. And I thought, oh, I got the power of God. Anybody else need a little anointing? Got the, and so I prayed for her, and she left. And next week she came in. I didn't expect anything. She came in, and she came running up to me. She said, oh my gosh, I went back to the doctors. They said my eyesight is completely healed. It's been completely healed. I looked at her, I said, no way. And I learned that when you pray and walk in boldness, you shouldn't be surprised when God shows up and works. I don't know who this is for, but there's somebody here. God is gonna call you to do something that's gonna take some faith. And when you step into it, you're gonna meet the presence of God who is already there waiting to see your faith, because whenever you step out in boldness, God shows up in power. Make me bold. Somebody say, make me bold. Make me bold. You have no idea what God might do through one single moment of boldness. Number one, boldness almost always triggers spiritual opposition. Number two, boldness often releases God's miracles. And number three, boldness always requires faith. It always requires faith. Verse 20, the angel says, hey, go to the temple and give the people this message of life. Keep preaching Jesus. And so at daybreak, what do the apostles do? They enter the temple as they were told, and they immediately begin teaching. Think about this. Don't just read your Bible, think about it. The angel told them, go and do the very thing that got you arrested twice. Do the very thing that could get you killed. Go do that, because boldness is always going to require faith. Years ago, I stood up there at a little ceremony and said, if you don't know Jesus, you can call on him and he will change you right now. And nothing happened, but they laughed at me out of the room and made fun of me for years. And 29 years later, I was at the gym and a guy came up to me, a soccer player. And he said, hey, Craig, remember me. I was there when you gave that crazy talk. And he went through and told me how his wife had left him and he was suicidal. He had nowhere to turn. And he said, well, if there is a God, I'm gonna see if that crazy bold guy still has his church. And he looked me up and he came, and 29 years later, this amazing guy bowed a knee to the glory of Jesus and was completely transformed by the grace of God. Let me tell you, you may not see it today, and you may not see it tomorrow, and you may not see it next week, and you may not see it next month, and you may not see it by the end of the year. But you have no idea what God might do through a single moment of boldness. So Peter and John preached the word of God boldly, and they lived happily ever after. They did. They settled down. They both got married. Peter had 2 kids. John had 3. They started a consulting business. They made lots of money. They retired early, and they bought vacation homes, one in the mountains and one by the beach, right? That's what happened. Because when you serve Jesus, you live happily ever after, right? According to contemporary historians, John was the only one of the disciples who wasn't martyred. They tried to kill him. They dipped him in boiling oil, but somehow he survived that, and he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Peter, on the other hand, first century sources tell us that he was martyred in Rome, and tradition tells us that when they went to crucify him, Peter said, "Oh, no, no, I cannot be crucified as my Lord. Crucify me upside down." That was the reward on earth for their boldness. And that's why I want to tell you very clearly, if you pray this prayer, hear me, it's a dangerous prayer. It's a dangerous prayer. Do not pray it lightly. If you don't want to hear what God has to say, don't speak to him. Don't ask him to talk to you. Make me bold. Make me bold. Make me bold. Make me bold. When you pray it, it will come with spiritual opposition. I'm gonna tell you right now, don't worry when you face spiritual opposition for your obedience and boldness. Worry when you don't face any at all. So social doubts. I believe God brought me here to talk to a movement of God, one of the fastest growing, most powerful local churches, and to encourage you to believe God for more, to pray for more. And how is God gonna do more through this church? He'll do more through you as an individual when you grow in your boldness for the glory of Jesus. Somebody say, make me bold. Make me bold. Let me tell you, when you pray that, you probably won't come to church by yourself next week. Because all of a sudden, when you're praying, make me bold, you start to have eyes to see those who are like you used to be, hurting and broken and lost and depressed and dead on the inside and locked in a world, a prison of lust and without hope. But you have a living hope inside of you. You are a letter to those of the goodness of God. When you step into a room, light steps into darkness. When you walk in, hope walks in. You will not be here next week alone when you pray, make me bold. You're inviting people. Guess what? You won't come in and walk out without serving. Because when you're bold, you don't just go to church, you are the church. You use your gifts in the church. If you are here and not using your gifts somewhere in the church, there is an assignment for you from God that is not being done. Make me bold. That I believe there's someone here. When Pastor said, we believe God, 9 locations in 3 years that God would open up a door for us to be in a permanent place. There is someone here with tremendous financial capacity. You have been blessed by God, and God is gonna speak to your heart, and you're gonna give the boldest and biggest seed offering gift that will go into good ground. And you have no idea how God will use that moment of boldness to impact people all over the world. Make me bold. Make me bold. Make me bold. Because when you're like me, when you are dead and forgiven, I mean of so much, and changed. A guy who couldn't be faithful to a single girl now is married to the most faithful, God-honoring person ever, to the glory of God, with a marriage that can only be by the grace of Jesus. Set free from my lust, set free from my addictions. When you've been changed like I have, when you've been changed like you have, you can't keep it to yourselves. And that's why I'd say, do you see what we've got? Oh, you thought I wasn't paying attention now. An unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship. Deeply reverent before God. For our God is not an indifferent bystander, but he is actively cleansing house, touching the knees of those who's burned. And he won't quit until all are cleansed, because God himself is a consuming fire. Social Dallas, somebody say, make me bold. Make me bold. Touch three people and say, make me bold. Make me bold. Tell them God's gonna make you bold. Make us bold, make us bold, make us bold, make us bold, make us bold. For the glory of Jesus, when you know who he is and when you know what he's done, you can't shut me up, you can't silence me, money can't buy you, haters can't silence you, demons can't stop you, you're filled with Holy Ghost power, you will preach the risen Christ, and to all who know Jesus, to whom the Son sets free, are free indeed. Father, we ask that the power of your Holy Spirit fall upon this place. God, that you would speak to every single person, that we would hear your voice and be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. God, plant our roots deep within your church. Holy Spirit, speak, 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 speak. We pray that we'll hear from you today. God, I pray that you're speaking to people right now. Move on us on who we need to reach out to, on what we need to give, on where we need to serve, on who we need to love, on what sins we need to confess. God, where you need to humble us, where you need to work in us. And God, we'll boldly obey, we'll boldly obey, we'll boldly obey. I'm gonna ask you a couple questions. First question is this: do not raise your hand if you're not serious. Don't play, okay? Don't play, no plan. You don't have to do this. In fact, I'm gonna tell you, like, don't do it. Don't raise your hand like, oh yeah, 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 and then don't do it. But I wonder how many of you would commit just for 7 days. You don't have to stop at 7, because this is now a regular part of my devotion before God, and I am no longer an ADD prayer, because I'm not praying safe prayers. When you pray dangerous prayers, you see the power of God, you're never the same. 7 days. How many of you, don't raise your hand now, I want you to think about it. 7 days, how many of you would say, I'm gonna ask God and warn you, you will see opposition and he will speak to you and things won't always go the way you want them to, but you have no idea what God will do through your boldness. How many will say, next 7 days, yeah, I'm a part of this church family, I'm gonna pray, God make me bold. Would you lift up your hands? Leave them up, leave them toward heaven. God, I thank you that in the next 7 days, you're gonna stir up the spiritual gifts within this body. God, give them vision for more. God, increase the blessings upon their household. Stir up their spiritual gifts. God, give them eyes to see needs. Give them a heart to care for the broken. God, use them to prophetically speak into the lives of people far from you. God, bless them with anointing to share Jesus in a way that draws people into a knowledge of him. God, speak, and may this church be boldly obedient. And God, I thank you that we have no idea what you're gonna set in motion through a church full of people bold for the glory of Jesus. Make us bold, say it with me. Make us bold, make me bold, say it. Make me bold, Jesus, make me bold, make me bold, make me bold, make me bold. We're almost finished, but we're not done yet. God wants to do a little bit more. There are some of you here that you are hurting on the inside, that inside you feel dead. Some of you are like me. I grew up around the church. I knew about God, but I did not know him. I knew the story, but I didn't know the Savior. That's some of you. There are others of you, you were like me when I was like doing all the stuff and thinking it was fun and waking up going, this is not fun anymore. I don't like who I've become. And I recognized, I didn't know at the time, but it was sin. Sin's not a popular word today. The scripture says every single one of us has sinned. You've sinned, I've sinned, and sin separates us from God. But the good news is our God is so amazing. Listen to me, he is so amazing, and he loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus, who was without sin, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, who died in our place, shed his blood so that we could be forgiven. And our God raised him from the dead, defeating death, hell, sin, and the grave, so that anyone, listen to me, and this includes you, anyone who calls on that name that is above every name, anyone who calls on the name of Jesus, that all of your sins would be forgiven, that you would be brand new. You're not a better version of you. You are new and you are different. And there are those of you that God brought here for this very moment. No more playing around. Some of you, it's time for you to go bold. Normally at my church, we kind of say, hey, let's just kind of close your eyes. We're not gonna do that here. I'm gonna ask you to be bold. If you wanna fully follow Jesus, if you don't know where you're, I'm gonna ask you just in front of everybody to say, I wanna be his. I'm gonna step away from my sin. Why are we doing this publicly? Well, Jesus kind of said this. He said, hey, if you don't confess me before people, I won't confess you before my Father. But if you do go public and confess me before other people, I will boldly confess you before my Father. Our God wants to bless you today. If you don't know where you stand with God, if you know him in your head, but you don't know him in your heart, if you're lost in sin, if you've fallen away and you're hurting and you're broken and you don't, could he ever love me? He does, and you are not here by accident. You are here by the divine providential will of a God who loves you for this moment. And you say, I need him. We're gonna step away from our old life. We're gonna step in to the grace of Jesus. And when you do, he'll hear your prayer. You'll never be the same. Your sins are forgiven all over the room. And those of you online who say, I need his grace, I need his mercy, I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm going public. I'm not playing around, it's all in. It's not partly in, it's fully in. I wanna glorify Jesus, my life goes to him. I give my life completely to him. I don't care what anybody thinks, I give my life to him. This is your prayer. Lift your hands high right now. Lift them up high right now. Oh, come on, church, lift them up high right now. Come on, somebody better give God some praise right now. Somebody, lift him up high. Lift him both. Worship him for his salvation. Worship him for his goodness. Worship him for who he is. Would you pray? Everybody pray. Nobody prays alone. Everybody pray aloud after me. Pray, Heavenly Father, I turn from my sins and I turn to Jesus. Forgive me. Save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I could know you and serve you. Make me bold, bold to show your love, bold to show your grace. No matter what people think, I serve you. You are my Savior. You are my God. You've given me new life. I give you all of mine. I worship you. I praise you. I'm saved and I'm set free. Could somebody here who's been changed by Jesus give him a shout of praise right now? Come on. Come on, this is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Our God is a fire and we praise him. Come on, social.
How many are thankful that we just saw so many people go from death to life to freedom? Come on, this is what we're about. Come on, it's Social Dallas's birthday, but how many are thankful that it was somebody else's birthday today? You've been born again, the old is gone, behold, all things have been made new. I need somebody to echo what the angels in heaven are doing right now, rejoicing that just one. Somebody
Everybody say, make me bold. Shout, make me bold. Hear me, that was not just a sermon. That was a prophetic word for this house. And I want you to help me give honor to where honor is due and thank Pastor Craig Rochelle for releasing that word. Oh, come on, we are never gonna be the same. Bold. Bold. We need boldness to be unshakable. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, can you do us a favor? There's a number they put on the screen. We would love for you to text LIFE to that number. Why? Because we want to be able to follow up with you. How many know you need a bold community? It's awesome to be bold by yourself, but you can be a whole lot more bold when you got somebody else that's like, hey, I'll roll with you. I'll roll with you. I got you. I got you. And we would love to be that church community. So text LIFE to that number. Also, watch this. We want to give you a Bible, a free Bible. Come on. We don't need Gideon. We got you. We got you. If you go out to that tent, we'll give you a Bible if you prayed that prayer. We want to follow up with you. You need a church home. Can we give God praise for all that he did today on this birthday celebration? I know some of y'all are rushing, but you're about to miss out on something real, real good. I just think there's something powerful about community. And so in honor of our birthday, we got some food trucks out there. It's all kinds of stuff. Some of you, you've been coming, but you haven't gotten connected. You just sneak in and sneak out. This is actually your Sunday to meet somebody that you don't know, okay? You got more than 60 seconds. You can just stay and hang. You're going to be in a line anyway in the parking lot. You may as well just say, get you a corn dog, hang out. In fact, we got our social newspaper that we're going to give away. Do we have that? Y'all got that social newspaper? It's out there. There's one. Oh, come on. Thank you, Poppy. There we go. We got a little social newspaper. That's a gift to you. Out there, you can grab one and just hang out. Come on, one more time. Help me thank God for Pastor Craig Rochelle. I am blown away. I feel boldness in my spirit for what our church is about to step into. But even if you can't pray that prayer, even if you can't stay, even if you can't go to the food truck, even if you don't get the newspaper, you ought to just keep showing up. Because if you keep showing up, I said if you keep showing up, come on, we gonna end with the praise party. If I were you, I would stay and praise. But if you can't, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, give you grace and peace now and forevermore. Come on, happy birthday, social media.